Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 351, Side 2, titled Mind Jihad, Part 3, More About the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being recorded on March 9th of 2002, and we're going to be continuing our discussion of, on the one hand, the September 11th events and related topics, and we're also going to continue our exploration of an Islamo-fascist organization called the Muslim Brotherhood, alleged by author Richard LaBaviere to be heavily involved with not only Al-Qaeda but other forms of Islamic fascism. And we're also going to be taking a look in particular at the Al-Taqwa Bank, later NADA Management, that was alleged by the United States to be heavily involved with Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Now, in the conclusion of the second side of this, of this program, we took a look at Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's recent visit to Saudi Arabia, and he appeared, shall we say, more understanding of the Saudi position than one might perhaps suppose in light of the irrefutable evidence of Saudi complicity in the September 11th attacks. We're not hearing a lot about that, but in addition to the fact that 15 of the 19 Saudis were hijacked, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, more than 100 of the 158 detainees down in Guantanamo are Saudi nationals, and in light of the fact that the Saudi chief of intelligence, who was allegedly running bin Laden, resigned the week before the attacks, the Saudis canceled their military maneuvers with the U.S. hours before they were scheduled to begin in August, and Crown Prince Abdullah told George Bush 10 days before the attacks that the U.S. stance vis-a-vis the Israeli-Palestinian conflict was unacceptable. I think you've got a pretty clear case for Saudi involvement. In any event, what we're going to be looking at here is the charitable organization Relief International, known here as Mercy International. Note that that organization's name was originally in Arabic. It was translated and transliterated for the French language edition of Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBaviere, and then in turn Martin Demers translated the book into English. So Mercy International, Relief International are the same organizations. In For the Record 341, we took a look at the freezing of Mercy International's assets and also the seizure of assets in Bosnia as well, the American assets in Michigan. Note the relationship here. Note that Al-Taqwa has as one of its subsidiaries Gulf Office, or had, Al-Taqwa has been closed. And note here the relationship in turn between Gulf Office and Al-Taqwa and Mercy International. It is alleged here in this book that Mercy International is an offshoot of Al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood. Mercy International, or Relief International, headquartered in the United States. So this is an American branch of this Islamo-fascist organization. Turning once again to Dollars for Terror, subtitled The United States and Islam by Richard LaBaviere of Al-Taqwa, Gulf Office, and Relief or Mercy International, we read, "But Nasreddin Ahmed Idris's real representative at the head of Gulf Office is another member of the Muslim Brothers, Khaldun Diyadin, who belongs to the Syrian branch of the organization. He too was employed, unquote, by the bank Al-Taqwa, which he represented in Lugano before he took on the coordination of the activities of Mercy International, unquote, an Islamic humanitarian organization. The humanitarian organizations, Islamic non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, represent one of the other derivative products, unquote, from Al-Taqwa Bank. Mercy International, again parenthetically also Relief International, is a Swiss association founded on May 13, 1989. Its charter specifies that its goals encompass, quote, all humanitarian actions, especially in the cases of natural catastrophe and war, unquote. Mercy International became well known for its various charitable activities on behalf of the Bosnian Muslims, but it was also active in circumventing the embargo on weapons bound for the Bosnian army and in recruiting mercenaries and international volunteers, unquote, for that country. Mercy International diversified its activities toward Algeria, in particular in the field of repatriating the Arab Afghans to this country and providing them with funds and logistical assistance. The official personnel chart of Mercy International indicates that the association is chaired by Jassem Muhalal al-Yassin, a resident of Kuwait. Chief of the Kuwaiti Muslim Brothers, he oversees the management of the political branch, the Islamic Constitutional Movement, the social branch, the Association for Social Reform, and the Branch for External Action, Solidarity Committees. He collaborates closely with the Sudanese leader Hassan el-Turabi to coordinate support for the Islamist movements of the Maghreb. Lastly, the director, Majid al-Rifai, who is also a Kuwaiti, is a member of the Muslim Brothers and serves as president of the Organization of the Islamic Appeal, the Al-Dawa al-Islamia. Today, Mercy International has moved its headquarters to the United States. It declares a gross budget of $2 million. By the way, today would be in 1999 when the book was published, or sometime immediately prior to that. Please note that Mercy International is alleged here to be an offshoot of Al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood. Continuing. Officially, its emergency humanitarian aid programs focus on delivering food, drugs, clothing, and shelter. In the Balkans, Mercy International is still active in Bosnia. Lately, its efforts have also been seen in Albania, where it has developed several hospitals and orphanages. In his offices in Tirana, one finds Khaldun Dia Edin, who in addition manages one of the principal channels for weapons delivery for the Kosovo Liberation Army, with the financial and logistical support of the World Islamic League. By the way, in addition to the fact that the president of Bosnia, Ali Izetbegovic, has a heritage in the 13th Waffen-SS or Hanjar Division, I would note that many of the members of the Kosovo Liberation Army are the sons and grandsons of various pro-fascist Balkan Muslim fighting formations, including and especially the 21st Waffen-SS Division, the Skanderbeg Division. We're going to take a look at how Relief International, or Mercy International, as it's called here, came to be deployed to the United States. And I would emphasize once again that one should not oversimplify the events of September 11th or the various gradations and divisions within the political forces that can be seen at work in those events. It has been my contention that the Islamo-fascist elements that attacked the Pentagon and the World Trade Center are in fact not only part of the underground Reich, but in fact were doubling on the United States, basically rather like a Trojan horse. In this context, I emphatically recommend that listeners contact Spitfire, the tape duplication service and CD duplication service that distributes work that I've done. Get a hold of RFA37 and Miscellaneous Archive Show M61. It'll give you some good background. Now, in connection with Mercy International, or Relief International, alleged here to be an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Taqwa, and also alleged by the U.S. government and others to be involved with Al-Qaeda, we're going to take a look at the circumstances surrounding its relocation to and headquartering in the United States. The shepherding organization in this context is described by La Baviera as the CIA. I think that could be intelligently refined as to mean the petroleum/Bush-related faction of the CIA. Not only U.S. intelligence, but the CIA have many different factions. A good guy faction, to coin a term, helped to publish the book The Secret War Against the Jews by John Loftus and Mark Arons. This here is another faction. And again, I should note that utilizing Islamists in the Balkans and also perhaps in the former Soviet Union and elsewhere in connection with petroleum activities is one of the uses to which the Islamists were apparently put. They then functioned in effect as a Trojan horse and attacked, bit the hand that had been feeding them. Of Relief International, or Mercy International, its relocation to the United States, we read in Dollars for Terror. This, by the way, is this particular text is in the immediate aftermath of the bombings in Africa in August of 1998. In Nairobi, the FBI was mainly working to sort out the tangled web of ties between the Sudanese Secret Service, the Osama bin Laden Organization, and the Islamic NGOs. Going from one surprise to another, the investigators ended up focusing on two American connections. The first relates to the organization Mercy International Relief Agency, whose direct involvement in the financing of the Afghan networks we have mentioned on several occasions. Active in Bosnia, Chechnya, and Albania, this subsidiary of the Muslim Brothers was able to establish its headquarters in the United States, in the state of Michigan, with the assistance of the CIA. The agency provided significant logistical and financial support to this humanitarian organization, enabling it to act clandestinely in the various Balkan conflicts as well as within the Muslim communities of several Russian republics. On the basis of the FBI's conclusion, the Kenyan government announced the dissolution of Mercy International and five other Islamic NGOs that had probably also enjoyed Saudi and CIA support. Now, what we're going to look at next is some of the connections and the heritage, once again, of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, we took a look at the Muslim Brotherhood at considerable length and, among other programs, For the Record 343, Mind Jihad Part 2. We reviewed some of its fascist structure or Islamo-fascist structure and heritage in the first side of this program. Now, some names. Remember Hassan el-Banna, who founded the Muslim Brotherhood? We're going to take a look here at his son-in-law, named Saeed Ramadan, and later on in the broadcast, we're going to take a look at Saeed Ramadan's sons, or two of them, those named Hani and Tariq Ramadan, or Ramadan Hani, as it is also described here. So again, the heritage, Hassan al-Banna, founder of Muslim Brotherhood. His son-in-law, Saeed Ramadan, succeeded his father-in-law as the head of the organization, and in turn, two of Saeed Ramadan's sons, Hani and Tariq Ramadan, also played key parts in some of the subsequent activities of the Muslim Brotherhood. Reviewing an item that we discussed in For the Record 343, and which lent to the title to that particular program, turning to the deployment of the Muslim Brotherhood, or the fraternity, as it's described here, to Germany after it was suppressed by President Nasser of Egypt, who initially was part of the Free Officers Association that enjoyed the Brotherhood's support. And by the way, some of the complexities of this were discussed in For the Record 350. Turning once again to Dollars for Terror, we read, "This pivotal role in the redeployment of the fraternity, played abroad by Saeed Ramadan, was also emphasized by Rifat Saeed, a deputy of the Egyptian left. Quote, before he settled in Europe, he, Ramadan, made long sojourns to Saudi Arabia with King Faisal, and then in Pakistan, where he worked with lawyers on the Islamic right. But by the end of the 1950s, he opened a new door by selling the Saudis on the idea of Dawah, i.e. the propagation of Islam, especially in Europe. Thus, he proposed to them initially to open a center in Munich. Why Munich? Why Germany? I asked Rifat Saeed. Quote, because there one finds old complicities that go back to the late 1930s when the Muslim Brothers collaborated with the agents of Nazi Germany. And furthermore, Turkish immigration to Germany had started to become an important phenomenon. By soaking up the savings of these Muslim workers, Youssef Nada, like Saeed Ramadan, took advantage of an extremely favorable context and used it as a springboard for the Muslim Brothers' economic activities. For these various reasons, the Munich Center quickly became very important," adds the Egyptian deputy. And after redeploying to Munich, as described here, for the reasons discussed here, Saeed Ramadan then relocated to Geneva, Switzerland. And his reasons for doing so here are worth noting. In a number of our past broadcasts, we've taken a look at a very important Swiss Nazi named François Genoux. This is a very profound individual. We looked at him in miscellaneous archive shows, a very important individual. We looked at him in miscellaneous archive shows M19 and M21. We've visited with Kevin Coogan, the author of the book Dreamer of the Day, and discussed François Genoux. We've also taken a look at Genoux in connection with a number of different evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the milieu of September 11th. What we're going to look at now is Saeed Ramadan's relocation to Geneva, obliquely described here as being intended to take advantage not only of the treasure of the FLN, that is the Algerian Liberation Organization that resisted successfully the French colonization of Algeria. It gained Algerian independence from France. But the banker for the FLN was the aforementioned François Genoux, and it was to be allied with Genoux and the FLN that Saeed Ramadan relocated to Geneva. Turning once again to Dollars for Terror, we read of the Brotherhood and Saeed Ramadan's relocation to Geneva. The Saudis advised him to make his home in Switzerland for both financial and political reasons. After the Second World War, the petrodollars from the Gulf benefited from the discretion and efficiency of the Swiss banking world. With the Algerian War, the FLN used the French-speaking part of Switzerland as a sounding board. At the time, the Maghreb circus, unquote, polarized the energy of the news services, the spies, and the racketeers of every type, especially since Geneva is also the hub for the financial resources of the Algerian underground. Let us mention only the incident of the treasure of the FLN, at the center of which the banker François Genoux may be found. Ramadan and the Muslim Brothers thought that they could play a part in the Algerian process, as they had done in Palestine in 1947. Saeed Ramadan thus left Munich to settle in the city of Calvin. Parenthetically, I would add that, of course, was Geneva. Now, before we return to the heirs to Saeed Ramadan, his sons Hani and Tariq Ramadan, we're once again going to review some of the information about François Genoux that we've looked at in the past. We're going to be turning once again to the remarkable and encyclopedic volume Dreamer of the Day, subtitled Francis Parker Yaki and the Postwar Fascist International. This book was published in softcover by Otano Media, copyright 1999. The book was edited by on-air personality Dave Mandel of sister station WFMU-FM, ISBN number 1-57027-039-2. You can visit Otano Media's website at www.otanomedia.org. We've spoken about François Genoux in connection with a number of our broadcasts about September 11th, for the record, 333, 340, 341, 343, and 344, among others, talk about François Genoux. We touched on Genoux again in the last broadcast, number 350. By the way, my use of Kevin Coogan's text here should not be misunderstood as constituting an endorsement on the part of Kevin Coogan for the working hypothesis that I'm presenting on the September 11th attacks. Turning once again to Dreamer of the Day about Genoux, we review. On May 30th, 1996, an obscure Swiss banker named François Genoux committed suicide in Geneva, Switzerland. From the brief mention of his death in the New York Times, one would not know that one of the most important figures in the history of 20th century terrorism had died. And how many men can say that they were friends with both Adolf Hitler and Carlos the Jackal, skipping down. Genoux, too, was in the thick of things, having established a friendship with SS General Karl Wolff, leader of the German team in Italy that negotiated Operation Sunrise with Alan Dulles. Shortly after the war, Genoux acquired the publishing rights to the works of Adolf Hitler, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Goebbels. He also played a major, if murky, role in aiding fugitive Nazi war criminals. Another key player in the post-war Nazi underground resident in Switzerland was SD Colonel Eugen Dolman, General Wolff's chief lieutenant in the talks with Dulles. Besides Wolff, Dolman and Genoux had another friend in common, Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. Genoux first met the Grand Mufti in Jerusalem in 1936 and again in Berlin during the war. Skipping down of the relationship between François Genoux and the Grand Mufti and Johann von Leers, Goebbels' propaganda ministry, who ran anti-Semitic propaganda for Goebbels, and in turn, the relationship between François Genoux and the Algerian FLN, and Janu's assumption of the role as banker for the FLN. Bear in mind, it was Janu and the treasurer of the FLN and the anti-French FLN resistance that was the motive for Saeed Ramadan relocating to Geneva. In 1955, with the Grand Mufti's friend Johann von Leers helping to run Egypt's propaganda ministry and its all-important Institute for the Study of Zionism, unquote, Janu began to see Egypt as a base for the anti-French FLN independence movement in Algeria. He worked in Tangier with an ex-SS officer named Hans Reichenberg to create the Arabo-Africa Import-Export Company, which supplied the FLN with weapons. Arabo Africa was actually a cover enterprise established by Werner Naumann's network and included Janu's friend Dr. Hjalmar Schacht, the former finance minister of Nazi Germany. In Damascus, General Otto Reimer, Ernst Wilhelm Springer, and an ex-SS captain and RSHA operative named Alois Brunner created another gun-running operation, the Orient Trading Company, or OTRACO, to ship arms to the FLN militants. By the way, Brunner was a key aide to Adolf Eichmann. Continuing. Janu's importance within the FLN increased when he became the group's banker. In 1952, Ahmed Ben Bella, one of the founders of the Algerian Organization Speciale, or Algerian Organisation Speciale, or OS Independence Movement, escaped from a French jail. After spending several months underground, he resurfaced in Cairo to be personally blessed by Nasser. In the spring of 1954, Ben Bella left Cairo and traveled to Geneva, where he and three of his OS comrades created the organizational basis for the FLN. In 1958, Janu and a Syrian named Zuhir Mardam co-founded the Banque Commerciale Arabe in Geneva to manage the FLN's war chest. One of Janu's closest collaborators, Mohamed Kider, was Secretary General of the FLN's Political Bureau. And that discusses the Janu role at the head of the banking of the FLN. Skipping down once again. After Algeria won its independence, Janu became head of the Banque Populaire Arabe in Algiers. And again, it was Janu's role in Geneva as the banker for the FLN that led Saeed Ramadan to promote the relocation of Muslim Brothers and his own relocation to Geneva. Now, we're going to take a look at Saeed Ramadan's sons, or two of them. Bear in mind that Saeed Ramadan was the son-in-law of Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to take a look at two of Saeed Ramadan's sons. Returning to Dollars for Terror, and so with the financial support of King Faisal of Arabia, Saeed Ramadan established the fraternity's political outpost for Europe in Geneva. In 1961, he founded the Islamic Center in Oviv, currently directed by one of his sons, Hani. Skipping down. Hani is the fourth son of the late Saeed Ramadan and his wife, Wafa Hassan al-Banna, the daughter of the founder of the Fraternity of the Muslim Brothers. Born in 1959 in Geneva, Hani is Swiss by nationality. After studies in the humanities, which led to teaching positions in various private and public establishments, Hani was associated very early by his father with the propaganda activities of the center and the mosque of Oviv. Although he is a less fluent talker than his brother Tariq, and has fewer ties in the intellectual and university circles, he has gained prominence nevertheless as the theorist of the family through his many media appearances. His letter to the editor, commentaries, and other public statements defend and illustrate the, quote, right to be different, unquote, the debate between civilizations, unquote, and the uncompromising dialogue with the West, unquote. His various activities have led to many conferences at the Islamic Center of the Oviv, where in recent years many demonstrations and open-air prayer sessions have been held for various Islamist causes in front of the European seat of the United Nations. The advantage of our presence in Europe, Hani Ramadan says, again quoting, is that we can take advantage of the freedom of the democratic regimes, unquote. For example, on March 11, 1995, Ramadan spoke during a gathering that was officially organized by the Algerian FIS. The demonstration, in fact, brought together the European supporters of the Armed Islamic Groups, or GIA. That's the Algerian FIS. And the center directed by Ramadan, which has enough meeting space for some 20 people, is also used as a hub for the European representatives of various organizations that are under surveillance by several European police forces. Frequently invited to the Lyon area by friendly associations, unquote, Hani Ramadan was barred from entering French territory on February 1, 1995, by the Ministry for the Interior. In a memorandum dated March 1997, the administration indicated that, quote, Mr. Ramadan is not just a Swiss citizen teaching French in a public establishment in this country. As he himself indicates, the interested party is a director of the Islamic Center of Geneva. This organization is known by the specialized police services to be a meeting for the principal European Islamists and the point where the circuits of financing converge. Mr. Ramadan is the grandson of the founder of the fraternity of the Muslim Brothers in Egypt. Like his brother Mr. Ramadan Tariq, Mr. Ramadan Hani is thus an important figure in the European Islamist movement and entertains close relations with the Union of Islamist Organizations of France, or UOIF. This association has participated in demonstrations in favor of wearing the Islamic headscarf, and its sympathies extend to the Palestinian movement, Hamas, unquote. And again, if one wants to avoid oversimplifying these events, the author here, Richard Labeviere, hints at a division of opinion, so to speak, between the CIA and the Pentagon vis-a-vis the Muslim Brothers. The American intelligence agencies, particularly the CIA, whose familiarity with the Brothers goes back many years, still supervises the Saudi sponsorship of the fraternity. This protection of the Muslim Brothers by the House of Al Saud is considered by the Pentagon's Arab experts to be, quote, the essential element of a structural evolution of political Islam, unquote, a confidential memo explains. The programs I've recorded over the years are available from a CD and tape duplication service called Spitfire, one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Email mail at spitfirelist1word.com. Visit their website at www.spitfirelist.com. By the time you hear this program, there will be a detailed annotated description of the program in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. Be sure to follow the links in that description to two websites maintained by sister station WFMU-FM, which have virtually the entire For the Record series available for download and or streaming on Real Audio. The first airing of each For the Record program takes place at 9 p.m. on Monday night on KKUP. Visit their website for instructions on how to listen at www.kkup.com. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 351, titled Mein Jihad, Part 3, More About the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being recorded on March 9th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.